A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists, in their own words, on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 18. Scientist number 105. Quote, using the notion hockey stick, even in quotes, is a mistake. Such an expression must not enter serious literature on climate change issues. Close quote. Professor Thomas Socker, Ph.D., Professor of Climate and Environmental Physics and co-director of the Physics Institute at the University of Bern. Nominated to succeed the disgraced Rajendra Pachauri as IPCC chair. Recipient of the Hans Schwechter Medal from the European Geosciences Union. The Descartes Prize for Transnational Collaborative Research from the European Commission, and the National Latsis Prize from the Swiss National Science Foundation. Fellow of the American Geophysical Union. Mark. In contrast to Dr. Van Omen, Professor Stocker didn't want the words hockey stick to sully the document at all. Quote, I feel strongly that using the notion hockey stick, even in quotes, is a mistake. Such an expression must not enter serious literature on climate change issues. The very wording of the sentence links hockey stick with the work of Mann et al., 1999. This is not fair, as this notion is now used as to discredit this work. IPCC should not adopt this language. Close quote. Mark. Professor Stocker seems to be suggesting that there are two separate things here. A paper called Mann et al., 1999, which is part of the serious literature on climate change issues, and some vulgar reductio, the hockey stick, which is used to discredit this work. But Mann himself assiduously promoted the concept of the hockey stick on his rise to global stardom, and he continues to do so to this day. On his website, in his bio, in the very title of his book, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars. Professor Stocker may be revolted by such ghastly populist simplicities as the term hockey stick, selling the IPCC, and he rightly discerns that there is something malodorous about it. But the notion that it's this label that is discrediting Mann et al. 1999 is ridiculous. The problem is Mann et al. Itself. Even his closest collaborators are stumbling on the medieval warm period and quote-unquote natural variability everywhere they look. In 2012, the Holocene published a paper by Dr. Thomas Melvin of the Climatic Research Unit, Professor Håkan Grud of Stockholm University, and golly, even Keith Briffa himself, called, quote, potential bias in updating tree ring chronologies using regional curve standardization, close quote. Quote, we can infer the existence of generally warm summers in the 10th and 11th centuries, similar to the level of those in the 20th century. The results here imply a level of recent summer temperatures that is equivalent, though not yet as persistent over as long a period, to the warmth in medieval time. Close quote. Mark, he's a slippery fellow, this medieval warm period. You find him in Scandinavia and South America and China and Indonesia, but when man compiles it all together into one big picture, the poor chap vanishes every time. Scientist number 106, quote, it should never have been singled out and been promoted to such a position of superiority. Close quote. Professor Richard Peltier, Ph.D., Professor of Physics and Founding Director of the Center for Global Change Science at the University of Toronto. Scientific Director of the SciNet Facility for High Performance Computation, Canada's largest supercomputer center. Recipient of Canada's highest scientific award, the Gerhard Herzberg Gold Medal in Science and Engineering. and of the Bancroft Award of the Royal Society of Canada, the Milankovitch Medal of the European Geosciences Union, the Bauer Award of the Franklin Institute, and the Vetlesen Prize of the G. Unger Vetlesen Foundation of New York. Fellow of the Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters, and Leif Erikson Fellow of the Norwegian Research Council. Mark. A decade after it soared to scientific superstardom, even longtime believers in anthropogenic global warming recognized that resting the case on the hockey stick had been a terrible error. On March 27, 2012, Professor Peltier gave evidence to the Standing Senate Committee on Energy, the Environment and Natural Resources of the Parliament of Canada. Quote, as an add-on to this, it should be seen and acknowledged as a mistake by those who chose what to put in the summary for policymakers, not to make it clear that the actual report did contain this large number of different hockey sticks. I believe it was an administrative mistake to take Michael Mann's more perfect-looking hockey stick and put it in the summary for policymakers. If anything is to be faulted in the hockey stick story, it is that. It should never have been singled out because it was the best-looking hockey stick and been promoted to such a position of superiority by appearing alone in the summary for policymakers. It was a big mistake on the part of the IPCC. Closed quote. 10 months after Professor Peltier spoke to Canadian parliamentarians, Dr. Peter Stott of the Met Office gave evidence to the House of Commons at Westminster. Both Peltier and Stott are part of the 97% consensus on global warming. But whereas the Canadian was willing to acknowledge the IPCC's promotion of the hockey stick, his English counterpart denied they'd given it any emphasis at all. Quote, I think it is important to put the paleo information in context. The IPCC assessment is based on multiple lines of evidence looking right across the climate system, from the instrumental data, warming of the ocean, changes in the water cycle, and sea level rise. All this wealth of evidence builds into this picture and robust comprehensive assessment, as I say, based on multiple lines of evidence, of which the paleo reconstructions, with the uncertainties that are involved with inferring global temperatures from indirect proxies of temperature, play their part, but a relatively small part in the overall assessment. Closed quote. Funny how it didn't seem like that at the time. Scientist number 107, quote, we were aware of these proxy climate reconstructions, but did not give them much weight, because the statistical methods used were, and arguably still are, rather opaque. Closed quote. Professor Miles Allen, Ph.D., head of the Climate Dynamics Group at the University of Oxford Atmospheric, Oceanic, and Planetary Physics Department, professor of Geosystem Science in the School of Geography and the Environment, and fellow of Linacre College, recipient of the Appleton Medal from the Institute of Physics, member of the U.S. NOAA Department of Energy International Advisory Group on Anthropogenic Climate Change, formerly with the UN Environment Program, the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. IPCC lead author. Mark. In 2012, Professor Allen wrote to the quote-unquote skeptics at the Bishop Hill website to bemoan their strange obsessions. Quote, the public are kept distracted by a debate over the medieval warm period, which has only ever featured in one of the lines of evidence for human influence on climate, and not, in my view, a particularly strong one. My fear is that by keeping the public focused on irrelevancies, you are excluding them from the discussion of what we should do about climate change. Closed quote. Mark. Notice that even as he dismisses the hockey stick as an irrelevancy and not a particularly strong line of evidence, even at this late date, a sense of self-preservation obliges him not to mention man or his stick by name. Professor Allen is a loyal supporter of the climate, quote-unquote, consensus, and therefore for many years of man and the CRU. However, by 2013, in evidence before the British House of Commons Select Committee, looking into the IPCC's fifth assessment review, he argued somewhat risibly that the hockey stick had never been terribly important. Quote, I can also confirm that the particular reconstruction of Northern Hemisphere temperatures over the past millennium, the so-called hockey stick, which subsequently came in for considerable criticism, was not in any way central to the conclusions of the 2001 assessment regarding attribution of causes of recent warming. We were aware of these proxy climate reconstructions, but did not give them much weight in the attribution assessment because the statistical methods used were, and arguably still are, rather opaque. I remember specific discussions among the attribution chapter authors questioning the error budgets of those reconstructions, and concluding that it would be premature to rely on them too heavily. With the benefit of hindsight, these discussions seem remarkably prescient and confirm the importance of scientific judgment in the IPCC process. Closed quote. Mark, this is a near Soviet level of historical airbrushing. When Mann's patron, Sir John Houghton, unveiled the third assessment report to the world in Shanghai, he did so with a giant blow-up of the hockey stick behind him. And for years afterwards, Sir John continued to feature a prominent display of Mann's stick in his public speeches and lectures. Scientist number 108. Quote, given the extensive use the IPCC made of it in the past, this absence is peculiar. Close quote. Professor Philippe de Lamarmont, PhD, former head of research at CNRS, the French National Center for Scientific Research, professor at the University of Nantes and at INSA, the National Institute of Applied Sciences at Rennes. Mark. Eventually, however, if never formally disowning it, the IPCC simply ceased all reference to Mann's stick. Chapter 3 of Philippe de Lamarmont's book, Changement Climatique, Identification et Projections, is called, quote-unquote, the War of the Graphs. Professor de Lamarmont regrets having to bring up the subject, quote, such a chapter should not be found in a scientific work. It is necessary, however, given the controversial context unsettling the climate change issue. Close quote. Professor de Lamarmont performs a technical analysis of competing climate reconstructions and is not impressed by Mann's work. Quote, the hockey stick curve, which ignores large climatic events, seems to have come straight from another world. Close quote. Just so. But by 2014, it had apparently gone back to its home planet. Commenting on its absence from the fifth assessment report, Professor de Lamarmont writes on page 32 of his book, quote, this chapter 5 in question does not make the slightest mention of the famous publication from M. Mann et al., neither in the text nor among the some 1,000 specific bibliographical references in this chapter. Given the extensive use that the IPCC made of it in the past, cited 6 times in the third assessment report, and the controversy it still causes, this absence is peculiar. Close quote. The IPCC's airbrushing of its monster does not erase the damage it did. Professor de Lamarmont adds in a footnote, quote, according to Google Scholar, Mann 1999 is quoted 1,681 times in scientific literature, Moberg 1,008 times, Lundqvist 103 times, and Lowell 56 times for their respective reconstructions. Closed quote. In his own book, Heaven and Earth, Professor Ian Plimer observed, quote, in the next IPCC report, the medieval warming and Little Ice Age mysteriously reappeared. This suggests that the IPCC knew that the hockey stick was invalid. This is a withering condemnation of the IPCC. The hockey stick was used as the backdrop for announcements about human-induced climate change. It is still used by Al Gore, and it is still used in talks on websites and in publications by those claiming that the world is getting warmer due to human activities. Were any of those people who view this graph told that the data before 1421 AD was based on just one lonely alpine pine tree? Close quote. No. For nature, for the IPCC, for Al Gore, you can't see the tree for the big global millennial forest. Scientist number 109. Quote, The fundamental conflict is of what, if anything, we should do about greenhouse gas emissions, not what the weather was like 1,000 years ago. Close quote. Dr. Gavin Schmidt, Ph.D., Director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, recipient of the American Geophysical Union's Climate Communications Prize, for, among other things, his co-founding of the ProMan Real Climate blog. Author of peer-reviewed papers in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences and other journals. Mark. In February 2011, Professor Jerry Rivets, with the help of some funding from the European Commission and the Gulbenkian Foundation, hosted a conference in Lisbon that was intended to help reconcile the climate consensus crowd with those who oppose them. Skeptics such as McIntyre McKittrick and Steve Mosher were invited, as were climate scientists such as Hans von Storch and James Risby. Dr. Schmidt, one of the few scientists willing to defend man with enthusiasm, declined to attend and explained why. Quote, "Thanks for the invitation. However, I'm a little confused at what conflict you feel you're going to be addressing. The fundamental conflict is of what, if anything, we should do about greenhouse gas emissions and other assorted pollutants, not what the weather was like 1,000 years ago. None of the seemingly important conflicts that are perceived in the science are conflicts in any real sense within the scientific community. No conflict resolution is possible between the science community, who are focused on increasing understanding, and people who are picking through the scientific evidence for cherries they can pick to support a predefined policy position. You would be much better off trying to find common ground on policy ideas than trying to get involved in irrelevant scientific controversies." Close quote. Mark. So much for that, but his crack about what the weather was like 1,000 years ago was revealing. Shortly after the conference, Robert Goebbels, no relation one assumes, a Luxembourg socialist, asked the following question in the European Parliament. Quote, "According to the New Scientist magazine, the Commission organized a meeting in early February in Lisbon between scientists defending the IPCC's theories on climate change and more skeptical scientists. Is it true that at this meeting it was acknowledged that the hockey stick theory, which denies the existence of climate variations over the last two millennia, was mistaken?" Close quote. Mark. The New Scientist suggests this was a rare point of agreement between skeptics and believers. Dr. Schmidt can sneer, "Who cares what the weather was like 1,000 years ago?" Yet the hockey stick was not conjured into existence to determine the past, but to change the future. Schmidt is certainly free to mock those who pointed out the flaws in man's science, but the fact that he no longer wants to defend it is revealing. Scientist number 110. Quote, "There is a concern always if previous mistakes have been made, as in some cases, or maybe the accentuation of one view." Close quote. Professor Sir Brian Hoskins, CBE, FRS, PhD. Meteorologist and climatologist based at Imperial College London and the University of Reading. Knight Bachelor, Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, Fellow of the Royal Society, and Chair of its Global Environmental Research Committee. Former President of the Royal Meteorological Society and Member of the Royal Commission on Environmental Pollution. Recipient of the Simons Gold Medal, the L.F. Richardson Prize, and the Buchan Prize from the Royal Meteorological Society, the Wilhelm Bergonz Medal from the European Geophysical Society, the Kaff Gustav Rossby Research Medal from the American Meteorological Society, and the Schree Medal from the Institute of Physics. Member of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, Honorary Professor of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, and Fellow of the American Meteorological Society. Mark. On January 28, 2014, Sir Brian gave evidence on the IPCC's fifth assessment review to the Energy and Climate Change Committee of the British House of Commons. He was asked by the chairman if he thought that controversy such as the hockey stick had damaged the IPCC's credibility, and replied with what A.W. Montford called a wonderful Sir Humphreyish locution. Quote, "Mr. Tim Yao, MP, Do you have any anxiety that controversies that arose from previous reports, take the hockey stick graph that seems to be referred to quite frequently, may cast doubt on the conclusions reached in AR5? Professor Sir Brian Hoskins. There is a concern always if previous mistakes have been made, as in some cases, or maybe the accentuation of one view. It is a group of people, and mistakes will be made, and that should not reflect on anything in the future for that body. Of course we should all be skeptical, and we are all skeptical, the whole time. So probing, it must go on. It is not going to be taken as the Bible, but it should be taken as the view of a large group of scientists from the diverse range of where the scientists come from. And this is the consensus view given by them. That is what it is. There must always be a concern if then people can return to a mistake made 20 years ago, or an accentuation made 20 years ago, to down excellent work that has been done now. There must be a concern. Close quote. Mark. We'll take that as a yes. Chapter 12. Man Overboard. The Fall of the Stick. Quote, with the collapse of the hockey stick and the recent failure of global temperature to follow its supposed script, the sole argument an increasingly desperate Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change coterie is left with is the deployment of the results of unvalidated, speculative, computer general circulation models. Close quote. Professor Robert M. Carter, Ph.D. Flax for Alarmists. The Courier-Mail, September 6, 2009. Mark. Michael E. Mann is the bristlecone pine of scientists. Just as removing the bristlecones makes his hockey stick collapse, so removing Mann from the climate conversation would make a lot of the drama and hysteria and sheer unpleasantness disappear. For example, why do we have leaders of advanced, prosperous societies talking like gibbering madmen escaped from the padded cell, whether it's President Obama promising to end the rise of the oceans, or the Prince of Wales saying we only have 96 months left to save the planet? He started that countdown in 2009, by the way. The 96 months is up in July 2017. On the other hand, it gives us an extra 18 months on January 2016, which is the official final store-wide clearance date for Al Gore's 2006 prediction of the end of the world. This sort of thing was once reserved for amiable lunatics with sandwich boards passing out leaflets in the street. What made it suddenly respectable for princes and presidents? Answer: the declaration by the IPCC that this is the hottest year of the hottest decade of the hottest century since hotness began. And who provided the underlying science for that? Man. Another question. Why is big climate so weirdly defensive, to the point where an entire subdiscipline of junk science has sprung up in which supposed academics publish papers purporting to show that 99.99999% of all scientists agree with them, and producing quote-unquote studies to prove that anyone minded to disagree is a conspiracy theorist who believes the moon landings were faked. In fact, two of the very few men who've set foot on the moon are, in man terms, climate deniers, Buzz Aldrin and Harrison Schmitt. Why are they doing this? Answer: they're playing by man rules. Don't address the argument, destroy the guy making it. He's a denier. He's in the pay of the Koch brothers. Clearly this Buzz Aldrin kook is just some whack job who believes the moon landings were filmed in Nevada. Those who think that the very real disputes within climate science should nevertheless be debated within civilized norms have argued that, in Dr. Richard Bett's words, the whole climate conversation would be better off with the word denier being dropped completely. But no climatologist promotes this witless slur as zealously as man. He lends a gang insult to imprimatur of science, and his thuggish acolytes have enthusiastically embraced it, because what they're defending, the hockey stick, is indefensible. Their best defense is a good offensiveness, remorseless and virulent. Much has flowed from the decision to stick with the stick. You'll recall Professor Richard Toll's words a few pages ago. Quote, Who does most damage to the climate movement? Michael Mann, Phil Jones, Jim Henson, Peter Gleick, Al Gore, Rajendra Pachauri. Not necessarily in that order. Closed quote. James Henson was the most influential climate change promoter pre-Mann. In June 1988, his dramatic testimony to the U.S. Senate was reported by the following day's New York Times under the headline, Global Warming Has Begun. Certainly the global warming movement had begun. Henson pushed the boundaries between scientist and propagandist. But unlike Mann, he did not push the science itself into outright propaganda. Peter Gleick is a climatologist who stole the identity of a director of the skeptic Heartland Institute and released several confidential documents, plus a strategy paper that he forged outright. He remains a respected figure in his field. And he and Mann are mutual admirers, with Mann comparing Gleick favorably to whoever hacked into the CRU. In reality, the ClimateGate emails were almost certainly leaked by a disgusted CRU employee and are not forged. But put Henson and Gleick aside. Everyone else on Professor Toll's list of those who do most damage to the climate movement is a man promoter. Rajendra Pachauri was the head of the organization that made the hockey stick the most famous science graph of the 21st century. Al Gore is the climate crusader who made the stick the star of his Oscar-winning movie and the lodestar of a new school of cartoon science force-fed to a generation of Western schoolchildren. Phil Jones is the older, respected scientist who put a distinguished institution in the service of hockey stick science. Colluded with Mann in obstructing legitimate requests for data, and would have been criminally prosecuted for breach of the Freedom of Information Act were it not for the statute of limitations. In other words, take away Mann and the hockey stick, and a lot of the other bad stuff goes away too. Embracing the stick corrupted the heart of climate science, from Nature to peer review to the CRU to the IPCC to government policy around the world. If scientists of integrity are not willing to, in Jonathan Jones' phrase, publicly denounce the hockey stick as obvious drivel, they do need, in the interest of a fresh start for a very damaged brand, to acknowledge the damage it did. They owe it to their own integrity to repudiate the stick. In this section are some of the scientists who spoke up without fear very early.